皆さんこんにち
は。Hello everyone.
今日は今読んでいただいた詩篇の
132編から、which was just read a moment ago.
主の恵みに預かりたいと思います。皆さんもネットで
It's likely that many of you on the internet or have seen a YouTube, right?
NHK
has actually made a short movie for the purpose of being uploaded to YouTube. The title of this movie is A Happy Person. That's the title. So what kind of movie this is, I'll explain it just a bit here. It's talking about this like salaryman, this workman guy, and he's kind of a young guy, and his job is to really not interact much with people, and he just does his work, and then he comes home, and he just goes back to his apartment because he's just living on his own. And of course, there's no one to talk to when he gets there because it's just him living on his own. So basically, he just doesn't talk to anybody all day, and it just continues day after day after day. And one day when he was finished with work and he was about ready to go home, he noticed that near his apartment there was this new machine that sells cans of drink and stuff. And he was really thirsty. He wanted a drink, and so he put money in, and a can came down. And at that time, the machine said to him, well, it was actually this beautiful woman's voice, said, "Thank you very much." And so when he heard this voice, he was just like, oh, he just felt so great. And he realized that like no one had ever thanked him like recently for anything. And so he was just like so relieved to hear this voice. And so he wanted to hear that voice again. So he puts money in again for another can. And this can comes out and it's like, thank you very much. You know? And when he noticed, he bought like 5 or 6 cans of drinks because he had heard it. After that day, on his way home from work, he would always stop there and buy one can of coffee or something. And that just became his custom. And he goes, thank you, message. However, one day when he was going home, he was going to go buy coffee there. And when he got near the machine, he noticed that there was spray paint like all over this machine. And he felt like it was like somebody dirtied himself. And so he just went back down really quick and he got, this towel rag to like and chemicals to like clean it off. And so he did this, worked really hard and spent 2 hours cleaning it off. And it just was beautifully clean afterward. And so he was so thankful. And so then he started to go walk back home. And then behind him, he hears this, thank you very much. And he turns around. And then he knows that like the next customer had been putting in money to buy him a drink. But he was just like crying because he was so happy to hear that. And then the movie ends. And this is the title again, was A Happy Person. And you're just like, well, what was he happy about? But if you think about it, what the movie is trying to say is something you can probably understand. Because the people in today's world really don't interact much with each other. And especially recently. Because of the virus, it's like get away from other people, don't get near each other is like the mainstream thought going around. But us humans just always have this desire to be connected to somebody and to have a relationship with somebody, and we want to be told thank you, and we want to say thank you ourselves. And that's just the type of like social people people that we are. So for this young guy in the movie, even though he was talking to a machine basically and he was just getting thanked for pain or something, he really was kind of healed in a way from hearing this thank you. And this is just kind of a reflection of the current status of people these days. So, for example, even if all the people around the world turned away from you, and even if everyone turns away from you, there is still one who will not, and that is the Lord. And because of this, we know that it's important to have a deep relationship with the Lord. Today we're looking again at Psalm 132 and learning from David's faith. We're learning about how we can have a deeper relationship with the Lord.
少し旧約聖書の歴史を振り返りたいと思います。
Old Testament history.
In the Old Testament,
there's a section called Judges, and this is the time in Israel when they didn't have a king, and so these judges were in charge at that, in that time, and they were people of power, and they would just, you know, they ruled the country at that time.
この時代は周りの民族と絶えず戦争を繰り広げていました。In that time, there were a lot of wars that just came to place off and on around with the bordering countries. And
one of the long-standing wars was between the Philistines. And at one point in time, they had the Ark of the Covenant, and it was actually taken away by the Philistines. And so for the Israelites, this was a huge crisis.The Philistines who took it away from the Israelites took it back to their country. And at Ashdod, and it was, that's the name of the town, they called it there. This was one of the main towns for the Philistines, and it was also the location for the false god of Dagon, and they had a shrine there for him. He was, these people were focused on the ocean, and so that's why this Dagon god had this like fish head, and that was just their idol. And for the shrine they had there, they, next to the Dagon shrine is where they placed the Ark of the Covenant. On the next day, when they went to the shrine, they noticed that Dagon's statue had fallen face down, and it was like almost that he was like worshiping the Ark of the Covenant. The people thought, oh, it was probably just like an earthquake or something like that. And they put, you know, Dagon's statue back up in place. However, on the next day,
Dagon's
statue was like all broken up, his body and arms and legs were all separate, all over the place. And the Philistines realized that the Ark of the Covenant they took from the Israelites, this was actually causing these things to happen, and that it wasn't just they stole, you know, some treasure of the Israelites, but it was actually they stole their Israelites' God. So they started to get really scared, and in Ashdod all these, you know, crazy things started happening, like plagues, and they were determined that they need to get this Ark of the Covenant out of there. So they took it from Ashdod to Gath. And this was also the town of the Philistines. In Gath, however, then another plague broke out, and the people started getting in this huge panic, and they're like, oh, it's because of the Ark of the Covenant, get it out of here. And so they moved it on to Ekron. However, the people of Ekron had no interest in having the Ark of the Covenant there because they had heard what was going on, and so they forbid it. So the priests kind of all got together and to decide what to do. They were, you know, having to deal with the plagues and stuff going around, and so they decided to give it back to Israel. So they put it on oxen carts and then began to haul it back to Israel. The ox, you know, walked slowly along with the Ark of the Covenant headed toward Israel.
At first,
they came to Kiriath Jearim, and the people there were so excited to see it come back in Israel.
And so in that town,
At that time, the king was Saul, but he wasn't really interested in the Ark of the Covenant at all.
Saul,
the Ark was back, and he's just like, oh, okay. And he didn't do anything. He wasn't really interested in it. So in the time when Saul was in charge, it was just kind of like set off to the side. But
the next king after Saul, which was David, he realized just how important this Ark of the Covenant was, and he realized that it shouldn't just be like left alone instead of its own. And so it was to be taken to Jerusalem, and there should be a huge temple built, and then put it in there. So he started this, you know, huge project to accomplish that. And he took the Ark of the Covenant from Jerim and took it to Jerusalem. In order to do that, David ended up using 30,000 people to accomplish this. It was just a huge feat. David had it put on the oxen cart and then head on to Jerusalem. And there was a band and choir in front, and David was so excited about this, and he was just dancing as it was going along. However, along the way, an incident happened. The oxen cart likely hit a rock or something, and it just like looked like it was going to fall over, and the Ark of the Covenant was about to fall off. And one of the priests by the name of Uzzah, you know, put his hand up to stop it from falling, because it was about to fall off, obviously. But at that instant, Uzzah was struck by God and he died. In other words, there was a problem with him doing this. David stopped, you know, the train of everybody and to figure out what was going on. And he wasn't sure what it was, but he was like, that was the wrath of God. And he was like, we can't continue. Until he knew about it. So he just, you know, stopped it for a time. The Ark of the Covenant was temporarily taken to Obed-Edom's house. And he was so excited to have it because that was where, you know, like the God's presence there. So he was just really happy. And it said that from that day, Obed-Edom's house was blessed. The presence of God is something that can bless if the people there are appreciative of it. Obed-Edom's house was blessed, and David heard about this. So he thought, okay, well, we really need to keep this Ark of the Covenant. We need to really get it all the way to Jerusalem. And he looked in ancient documents, and he found out that if they weren't supposed to be putting it on oxen carts to start with, and it was actually supposed to be carried by priests on their shoulders. And that was in the book of the documents from Moses. So that's what they did. It's kind of like if you see a Japanese festival, because there's omikoshi, and it's kind of like a box type thing, and there's poles on both sides of it, and they carry it on people's shoulders. It's just kind of like that. And that's what they did. That's what the priests did. They carried this Ark of the Covenant all the way to Jerusalem. David was just so excited about it, and he started, you know, he was dancing as they went along, and he was dancing so much that, like, his, you know, crown came off and his clothes came off, and so he was just like dancing in his underwear. He was just so happy. And watching this from the window was one of his wives, Michael, and she said to him, oh, you were just really dancing nicely today, weren't you? You know, just dancing and, you know, with no clothes on. And she was being really sarcastic. And she was actually the daughter of Saul. But David said, what?
You know,
do you know who I was dancing for? I was once a shepherd, and I've become the king of Israel. I'm dancing for God, and that's who I was dancing for. And so I'm not embarrassed at all. That's how he responded. God was really happy with what David had done, and he blessed David and gave him a promise from this. He said that he would bless not only him, but his descendants. And this was what's referred to as David's promise or covenant. David's son was Solomon, and in today's Psalm 8 through 11, this is actually what's referred to as Solomon's prayer. このソロモンの時に古代イスラエルはまさに黄金期を迎えるわけですよね。神様の約束通りお前とお前の子孫を祝福するという約束
ですけども、
でここでダビデがそのエルサレムに契約の箱を運んで、そして大きな幕屋を作ります、カリオを作るわけですよね。かつてイスラエルもモーセの時代にも幕屋がありました。あのエジプトからずっと40年間アラノ王を旅をする時に彼らはいつも幕屋を中心にこの生活を営んでいた。ただ移動用ですから
But because it was a purpose for moving along, it was not like a strong, strong structure, but you know, just a tent you'd fold up and keep moving. However, the tent that David made was not like something you just pack up and put away. It was a very strong structure. The size also was very different. Moses' tent had two different areas. The Holiest of Holies was the back, and then the other part was in the front. And the priest was only allowed to go in once a year, and it was a very special time. It was a very small building and a small
area.
However, David's tent was the size that several thousand people could get in. So this was one of the major differences.
モーセの天幕は、契約の箱は至聖所という一番奥に安置されて、人目に触れないように置かれていました。
And so people couldn't even get near it. But David put this holy part in the very center so that anyone could see it and could, you know, see God's presence.
そしてモーセの幕屋は、これは厳粛さの中で、静けさの中で儀式が行われました。ですから大祭司が着ているその着物の裾にね、鈴がつけてあるんですけども、その鈴の音が聞こえました。それぐらい静けさな荘厳の中で行われていくわけです。
でも、ダビデの幕屋の礼拝は、もう聖歌隊はいいのに、フルオーケストラは、leader for singing and just all this noise, and it was just really filled with praise.
And another
big difference was that in David's tent, Gentiles were able to participate because in Moses' tent, only the Levites could enter of the 12 tribes of Israel, and the other people had to be around outside. However, in David's tent, the Gentiles were also welcome to come in. In other words, David knew that before God, there are no really nationalities, because the only thing you need to worship God, the only requirement is that you have faith. And so David was just saying, if you want to worship God, anyone's welcome.
今日本の教会でJapan, ダビデの幕屋を回復する運動というのがあります。
In Japan, there's this movement to like restore David's tent.
喜びの礼拝の回復ということを言うわけですよね。礼拝には喜びが必要だ。
They are saying basically that we have to have, you know, a worship leader and a choir and all this stuff in order to worship. And they have this 24-hour period of singing to God.
And they pray 24 hours straight and so on.
And they say that this is the recovery of David's tent.
Of course,
you know, 24-hour prayer or 24-hour singing of praise is amazing. And using all these different instruments and having all these different choirs and so on, I mean, that really is an amazing thing. I don't have any complaints about that. But to say that that is the restoration of David's tent seems like a mistake.The Bible clearly states that the restoration of David's tent is actually something that was mentioned after the early church when the people were filled with the Holy Spirit and the initial church started. And at first it was like a Jewish church, but through Peter and Paul and their work and others,Gentiles were also able to enter the church
amongst the Gentiles.
Then
the more Christians developed, and there are some people that, but there are some people who said that even though they are, say they're Christians, then they have to be circumcised or whatever. And so they had all these different things that they were kind of fighting about, and they had a controversy over that they had to deal with. In the early church, Jacob at the early church said that amongst the people in God's plan, it's not only to be the people of Israel, but also the Gentiles as well. And Gentiles are to be allowed in without any types of conditions or something they have to fulfill. And that in itself is the restoration of the tent of David. So they used the prophet, he's referring to the prophet Amos also. And so in that way, David's tent is already restored. And that's pretty clear in the Bible. And that's why I encourage you not to be confused about this movement in Japan that's trying to do this. In the Daily Manna that we have here at the church, we're going through the Bible like one passage at a time, and there's a message from a pastor about each one of them. This is available on your iPhone or so on if you would like to access it. And so if you haven't signed up for it, you're welcome to sign up at any time. Right now we're going through Exodus. And so we're actually just right now talking about the Ark of the Covenant and Moses and then what it's made of and how it was positioned and so on. And in some ways, it really isn't that interesting, but every single thing has a meaning and a purpose, and this intent and so on is all leading and projecting and symbolizing Jesus. So this box, ark, has actually gold, pure gold on the top. And so it's not just a regular cover. It would be really expensive if you think about it. It seems like the price of gold is pretty high. Anyway, so there's this pure gold top to it. And on there, there's cherubims, and two of them facing each other with their wings spread out. In Israel, the people there had this special day once a year, and they would kill this or sacrifice this animal. They would use the blood of the animal, or the priest, the high priest would, and put it on the and that would actually forgive the people of all their sins for the past year. That was the point of this ritual. Paul said that that cover itself is actually Jesus Christ. And so that was just symbolizing him. And where Paul mentions that is actually in Romans 325, it said, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So, and this is actually a Japanese translation here. However, if you look at the another translation, more direct translation, it's just saying how we're just supposed to accept this through faith. So this cover to the ark is covered with the animal blood long ago, but now it's a symbol of Jesus Christ with his blood, and on the blood that was put out on the cross. Because of what Jesus has done, all people's sins have been forgiven. And so he's just clarifying that this lid to the cover to the box, or that the ark was actually a symbol of Jesus Christ. However, why did David... why was David so happy to be worshiping God? And it's not like David's life was just filled with joy and good things, because actually, if you think about David's life, sometimes he was like trying to be killed by King Saul, and so he's trying to run away. And another time, he was almost trying to be killed by his son. And actually, his life was just like all his fighting and trials. However, he was so full of joy within the Ark of the Covenant. And where do you think that was coming from? What was his source of joy? If you look in the New Testament, you can, and you're looking to find somebody similar to David, you can find Paul, because Paul was really filled with joy. In the Thessalonians, he said, you know, always be, always rejoice, and always be rejoiced in God. In Philippians as well, it says to rejoice in the same way, rejoice in God, and how God also is rejoicing. Paul's life also wasn't that of a happy life. If you look in the book of Corinthians, you can hear, so you can read a list of all the different trials that Paul went through. This is not anything that anyone would want to go through. It's all just terrible things. However, Paul was still filled with joy. So why is it that David and Paul, who were facing all these trials in their lives, could be so happy and full of joy? There's only one reason. It's because in those trials, and regardless of the circumstances, they focused on what was unchanging. And that was the Lord God himself. In our lives as well, there's many things around us that just change all the time. We believe somebody we can trust, and then they turn their backs on us. Or they say, this is something that's a value, and we hold on to it really tightly, and then all of a sudden the value goes away. In those times, we really get disappointed and sad and have difficulties because we're focusing our hearts on things that can just change. But what's really good is that we know something that can't change and that won't change, and that's God's love for us. Even if the entire world turns against us, God always will love us. He will say that we are precious in his eyes, and that he is happy when he looks at us. Jesus Christ has taken his life for our sin, and that fact also won't change. He didn't just die, but he was resurrected on the third day and is alive with us. In the future, he will also come back for us. This won't change either. So we need to focus on that which it will not change, and then we can have joy and peace. David and Paul are good examples of this. In their terrible circumstances and the things they had to face, they obviously focused on this. They turned their heart toward what could provide them with this unfailing love and peace. Worship is exactly just like this. It's allowing us to realize that there are things that do change, but also at the same time realizing that we need to focus on that which does not change, which is God alone. When we realize this through worship and through reading the Bible or praying and so on, we can reconfirm that. So that's when, often when worship services end, we can be filled with joy and hope and peace. It's because we've realigned our heart with that which does not change. I encourage you that in this coming week, even though there may be a lot of distraughtful news you hear and many things that you maybe even see in front of you, I just encourage you to focus on that which does not change. Let's do that this coming week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to turn our hearts to you once again this week. Lord, we know that in our hearts there's many different things that can take joy and peace away from us, but we also know, Lord, that there is something that doesn't change, and that is you, and we should always keep our eyes and our heart focused on you, because then we can have the peace and joy that you desire for us. Lord, allow us to always have hearts that are filled with this love and peace. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have a time of prayer and silence. Now pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore.
Amen.
Today we have communion. You're welcome to come up to one of the two tables in front. Just make a straight line in one of the behind one of the tables and take either or take sorry take both the juice and the bread and return to your seat. There's a disinfectant spray somewhere up there. You're welcome to spray your hands first before taking one of each and then return to your seat. And go ahead if you're in the front.